All right, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, it's great to be with you.
Wow.
Can't believe how much things have changed and stayed the same.
That's quite the intro.
Yes, it is. Are we recording?
Mm-hmm. Oh. This is the intro. This could be the intro.
This could be.
This is a show about nothing.
So what happens? Well, what did you do this morning?
Oh, I came up, I got up and I got went to work.
There it is. That's a show right there. That's a show.
You need a button. That was
something
a button
happened.
Moment.
No, nothing happened.
So if you press the music now, the show starts.
The show starts now.
There it is.
Okay. All right, fine. So we're starting?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Pastor Justin Gall. I'm in the studio with producer Simon, and you are on The Elaborators, episode 3. We've made it all the way to episode 3. We don't know quite how, but we're pretty excited about this one today.
Can you believe people have actually listened to us too?
I am stunned, astounded, and moved deeply. We'd like to thank my mum and dad for all of the listens.
Because I've got magical powers on the browser that shows all the people.
Oh!
Well, no, it's not true. They show numbers. They're all numbers. But we know they're real people too.
We'd like to thank all the individuals out there who have been reduced to a number. No, but we've been talking about peace, how to find it, where to get it, what it actually is, and we've been doing that on our Sundays. If you're part of the WBC church community in person, you would know that there's some prayer stuff going on and some Bible readings and a whole lot of things. But on the Sunday just gone, as we're speaking to you, we actually touched on the subject of burnout, which was fairly in-depth look at that, but later right now, whenever you're listening to this, we're going to invite Dr. Grant Bickerton on, who's actually a specialist in the field of burnout. But Simon, just before we get there,
yes,
there's a couple of other resources that we have as a church community. Tell us about them.
Yes, I can do that. There's so much out there.
Mm.
Not just us, there is so many resources out there, but what we tried to do is bring them to our people.
Right.
Our congregation here at Webber Baptist, but also for anyone else listening, they're all accessible. And one of those that we have been doing is YouVersion Bible Plans, which have been really fun. And they've been around a little while, but us as a church have had our own quiet time tool, Bible plan going on as an everyday thing for months and months. And that's been really good. And it's got its own topics that legendary Lachlan helps form for us, and Pastor Stan, he and Lachlan get together on those. But the YouVersion ones have been really handy because they're very focused around the sermon topics that we're covering.
Sure.
And they're just short, 3, 4, 5 days. And that's just there to help reinforce. And with the way YouVersion works, if you want, you can read and share with others. It's like a social network.
So you can basically jump onto YouVersion if you've got that. If you don't know what we're talking about, it's just an app on your phone.
Yes.
YouVersion is just the Bible. That's what it is. And you can jump in there and type in WBC. Is this correct?
Not quite yet, because it's all kind of new stuff. You can go werribaebaptist.org.au/YouVersion on your phone. And I've set that up as a shortcut, which will take you straight to our church on the app.
Right, so if I jump on my phone and I look on my web browser and I type that in, it'll take me to the app.
Yep.
That address again.
Werribaebaptist.org.au/YouVersion.
Fantastic.
And then you'll see our feature plans for that moment.
Right, and you can jump on those and you can share them from wherever you are. And so thanks to all the people that are tuning in from outside of our WBC community, but this is The Elaborators brought to you by WBC, and I reckon we should just get our guest in, should we?
Let's do it.
Let's do that. Should I hit the applause button?
Yep, and I'll get out the way.
All right, the applause button is now going. It's kind of aggressive cheering, actually.
There's some eager people in that applause. Can we hear that again? And then I'll actually get out of the way.
Okay. Right now, I'm excited to introduce you to a new friend of ours, Grant Bickerton. He is a PhD, he's an MPsych, he's a BA Honours. He's got a whole lot of letters beside his name that I'll ask him to explain very, very soon. But with 15 years of experience in the psychological field, he's worked around the world. He's had 10 years working in ministry prior to working in the psychological field. He's based in Melbourne, formerly from Sydney. We can forgive him for that. Please welcome to the podcast, Dr. Grant Bickerton. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, good, thank you, Justin. Good to be here.
Congratulations on making it to Melbourne, by the way.
Yep. That's what everyone tells me.
Are you a full convert now? Have you been here enough years that, the pool
is... Bizarrely, I love the weather in Melbourne. I really love the weather in Melbourne. Whenever I go back to Sydney, I'm like, oh, man.
Wow.
It's so humid. Yeah, I really like it. I like the winter. I like the summer. Yeah, I like it.
Of all the things I thought I'd learn in a conversation with you, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that before.
And you know what? The sky feels bigger in Melbourne as well. I don't know. I don't know if it makes sense, but it just feels bigger.
Is that just because we've got less smog, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, the clouds are different. The wind is different. So, yeah, I really like the weather in Melbourne. What can I say?
Well, hey, thanks for being on the podcast. It's been great. We'll catch you next time. That's great. No, so look, my friend, you've worked with a whole lot of organisations. The one that you work with right now is called Power to Change. Tell us a little bit about your role there.
Yeah, so Power to Change is actually part of an international mission agency linked to Campus Crusade for Christ International. And we work in different areas of Australian society, wanting to help people be connected to Jesus and each other and then grow and multiply their faith as well. So I've particularly been working on university campuses ever since doing some research related to how to help encourage people, particularly who are Christians, in terms of not going down a burnout track but going to a healthy motivation in their work and ministry. I've been actually working with Power to Change full-time in the development and well-being of our missionaries, about 180-odd missionaries.
180?
In Australia.
Wow.
So that's what I spend most of my time doing.
Yeah. And can I confirm, you? This is actually how you started out. You were working as a misho with them at some point early on in your career with Catherine, with your wife?
Yep, that's right. And so after doing my psychological study or during my psychological study, I actually got involved in just doing some short-term work with them actually went to medium-term work with them overseas in the Middle East. And then that's when I actually just wanted to, God grabbed my heart and I wanted to be involved in helping people come to know Jesus and actually live out what God would have them be doing for themselves. So my wife and I, we've worked for over 10 years just doing evangelism discipling on university campuses. But it was during that time I just saw lots of people in ministry and around me in different capacities, not doing that well, psychologically or spiritually, actually. And so that's what motivated me to go back and do some research related to the issues of burnout and healthy motivation at work. So I still serve full-time with Power to Change as a missionary, but my role is actually working in the headquarters doing the development and well-being of our missionaries. Yeah, so I'm still with them full-time.
So essentially you're out there, you're doing the work, you've got that young person kind of energy of let's just go out there and do it. You and your wife, I think, went out together. And during your season of being out there on the field, as it were, you noticed a particular pattern. What was the pattern that you were seeing in workers around you?
Yeah, the pattern sort of is where people come in, all guns blazing, usually spiritually tanked up, ready to go. And then over the next couple of years, I really tended to see people who just the demands were so great.
Yeah.
And ministry is just so important. There's always more to do.
Sure.
And I probably never feel like I'm doing it well enough. So I might tend to spend a little bit more time than I should doing more than I should.
Yeah.
And probably other time I might take from other places to try to get better, take this extra course or do this, get this mentor, do this.
Yeah.
And usually that comes at the cost of something. And ironically, for Christian workers, it can come from not only their home life or their recreation life, thus depleting their energy greater, but also actually from one's spiritual life. And so around that 2 or 3 year mark, you can often start to see people struggle a little bit. And then people start to go downhill from that. People can start, or even in one's work life, we can start working in a certain way or dynamic. And if that dynamic can get set, it might not end quickly, but it might set a pattern that I'll be kind of being ground down over time.
especially with younger workers, is it an immaturity that we take into our initial output? Is it walking into unhealthy? We don't know whether we're walking into a healthy or an unhealthy working space. What do you see as the key factors in the beginning, at least?
Oh, Justin, both of those things are very significant. So there is an age factor to do with burnout.
Yeah.
And so the younger people are, the more susceptible they are to burnout. But then you could actually think about those who are older are the ones who survived. So there's a bit of a funny thing going on there.
I would have thought that burnout might be more older, middle-aged people who are like, I'm over it all. But you're saying burnout is young people are very susceptible to it as well.
Oh, yeah, because there's a degree of learning. How do I cope?
Sure.
And so that has to happen. And those people who can figure that out. But I just want to come back to what you said before about the dynamic of the work situation. Mm-hmm. This is very important to hear. Burnout is not primarily an individual issue. It's a work characteristic issue. It's a dysfunctional dynamic. Now, of course, the individual colludes with that. Mm-hmm. There is some individual responsibility, blah, 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 blah. But let me tell you, it is actually more about the dynamic of in which one works than about individual resilience. When I hear people speak too much about the word resilience, I get very uncomfortable.
Okay.
Because when I'm burning out, I'm blaming myself.
Sure.
And if it's like, oh, well, you're not resilient enough, well, that just heaps further blame on me. Let me tell you, burnout is primarily a work characteristic, a work dynamic issue, more than an individual issue. I think that's very important to say.
When it comes to burnout, which is one of your areas of speciality, an area where you help both organisations avoid it and individuals potentially recover from it, you're suggesting there's a constellation of three things that contribute to burnout. Could you explain those to us?
Yeah, sure. So what burnout is, it's simply a prolonged or a chronic stress state in the work location. It's comprised of three key characteristics. One, the first thing, which is called the root of burnout, is just this sense of overwhelming emotional exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like I'm a spent shell. I've got nothing else to give. One, emotional exhaustion.
Yeah.
The second star in the constellation of burnout is cynicism. Or a sense of depersonalizing the people who I'm working with or I'm trying to serve. Cynicism. Now, that sense of cynicism, in a perverse way, is actually the system, the self, trying to protect themselves.
Yeah.
When I'm exhausted, if I can be cynical about something, you know what? I don't have to care as much.
Yeah.
But if I'm not cynical, then I've got to care. So cynicism, in some ways, can be triggered by prolonged emotional exhaustion.
So it's the depersonalizing.
Yeah. It's like, well, I'm just going to treat people as an object because then I don't have to get as much involved. It's not going to drain my energy when I'm already emotionally exhausted. So exhaustion usually comes first. That can bleed into cynicism.
Mm.
And then the third factor is a low sense of accomplishment or a low sense of efficacy.
Yeah.
What good am I doing here anyway? And when you start to hear those kinds of things, what good am I really doing here anyway? We have no real impact. Often that's a distorted sense, but those three things actually start to move together. So one, exhaustion.
Yeah.
Two, cynicism. Three, will then come the low sense of accomplishment or achievement. Now, when those three things start, actually you probably have a little bit of energy left. And if I'm feeling like I'm just not doing as much or seeing as much happen as I should, what do you think I'm going to do? I might try even harder. Yeah. What's that going to do to my exhaustion? Make it even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes you can see these three things almost like red lights on your dashboard. Yeah. One, two, three. And then once they get all happening together, you can spin around a lot faster.
So when I'm thinking of those three, I might categorize them as this one happens first, that one happens second, this one happens third. But it does seem like those things can happen concurrently. Would that be correct?
The literature is pretty clear. There usually exhaustion kicks off the whole thing.
So obviously we're trying to discuss the symptoms. We're trying to discuss what it looks like. So maybe there's maybe a little bit of self-diagnosis going on for people as they listen to us today. There's some positive affirmations we should throw in there to say you're not quite there yet. How do you discover sort of on a, you know, your scale of 1 to 10 kind of scenario?
Yeah. So I often do think about exhaustion, cynicism, and a distorted sense of low accomplishment. I often think about them as like three lights on the dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think exhaustion can be like the petrol tank. And I would say when I'm exhausted, I need to take care and put some petrol back in the tank. That's really important to do. Burnout is a chronic condition. You don't burn out from 6 weeks or 8 weeks even of intense work if you can take a period of time to replenish your energy after an intense time like that.
Yeah.
You burn out when that 6 to 8 week kind of peak 60, 70 hour kind of workloads get blown out into 6 months, 12 months.
They just don't let up. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a slow, can be a slow grind. That's one presentation. So I think about the petrol tank, the petrol light on your dashboard,
yeah,
as being like exhaustion. You know, I've got to attend to that. But if I see the petrol tank flashing and I then start to see the oil lamp going off as well, it's like cynicism. I'm like, actually, if you're really noticing a highly cynical attitude in conjunction with some just really exhaustion, it's really time to stop and pause and see what's going on.
Yeah.
So we have the petrol light. If you see the oil lamp go on, maybe some people kind of drive on a little bit more than they should. But it's like petrol tank, oil lamp. I'll tell you, if that engine light comes on.
Yeah. Game over.
Stop. Go to a mechanic. And so I would say that too. So if you're really seeing all three of those things going on in my life.
Yeah,
I would say it's really important to talk to someone. It doesn't have to start with some professional, but just talk to someone who you trust, a leader, who can help give you some ideas of maybe what can we do. We need some resources to help us cope with that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, on the basic level, that's part of what a Christian community tries to achieve for one another is the safe place, the sharing place and whatever. But as we've said on this podcast a couple of times, everybody on this podcast has used professional services to help them through professionally, including myself, and it's been an incredible blessing. But obviously the burnout factor is when you say it's chronic, this is something beyond just one or two of those dash lights going on. This becomes chronic and it can't be solved just by going on holiday for a couple of weeks, can it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, the general rule of thumb, this is often depressing for people to hear up front, general rule of thumb is how long it takes me to get in is usually how long it takes me to get out.
Wow.
And so if I'm going to slow burn down, you know, it's kind of like if you drain your iPhone totally, if it takes like 18 hours or something to drain a phone.
Sure.
And then you plug it in for 15 minutes, you're going to get a quick spike. That's not going to do it.
Mm.
So often the trajectory is it goes like this going down, and to go up is like this.
So is it a sense of just so people I guess not freaking out about this, is it sense of I've been doing this job for 10 years, I need to change careers for the next 10 years? I mean, even as I look at the pattern of some of what's happened for you in the 10-year kind of mark, you can see some patterns, but is there some sort of just so people don't feel hopeless about it, I guess?
Everyone's different.
Yeah.
And actually, so Justin, this is where it's important to talk about what is doing well at work.
Yeah.
Doing well at work is not just about not being burned out.
Mm.
That's one psychological process, the stress process. But then the other psychological process is actually about motivation.
Right.
Now, motivation and stress, they're different. Both are important and both need to be managed. People can be highly stressed but highly motivated. Now, if you're able to get some energy back and keep that up there, that's a very stimulating place to be.
Yep.
Sometimes, however, if I'm really, you know, topping out in both of those, if my resources, energy resources or other resources go down, to be honest, the burnout can just go up and the motivation will drop. That's the worst case scenario. But sometimes people might say, oh, Grant, you're burning out. And look, take a holiday, take 6 weeks off. And during that time, what might happen is that someone might who cares about me is like, oh, well, let's take some of his jobs off his plate as well. Now, I might come back, and particularly if I've taken off some of those work roles that I really like, what's my experience going to be like? Well, my exhaustion might be a bit better.
Yeah.
But if all I've done is just take a holiday and nothing else much has changed at work apart from a couple of extra things taken off my plate, that's not going to change my cynicism.
No.
And in fact, my sense of accomplishment is probably going to be doing it even worse.
Yeah.
What we need then is to think about, what about the motivational process? What actually helps me be motivated in work? And for Christian workers, actually, one's sense of convictions and seeing my work in terms of a sense of, this is what God is calling me to do, or this is what God wants me to do, or this is how I can honor God in this role, that actually is a really important source of positive motivation for work. And so we need to manage both the stress process and bring that down, get some of that exhaustion out, get some more energy in. Also, our spiritual life can provide us really helpfully with God's perspective of what we're doing. That is the antidote to cynicism.
Say that again. The spiritual life is the antidote. Did you say the spiritual life is the antidote to cynicism?
Absolutely. Yeah. So if you think about what Paul says to what Paul says to Roman slaves in Colossians chapter 3, where he talks about, let me just pull that up and read that out, because that's an astounding, it's an astounding bit of the Bible.
It's quite a challenge there, isn't it?
Paul says, he says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. Can you imagine what kind of duties is a first century slave doing? Paul is giving us a perspective about work that is different, actually. He says you're actually serving the Lord, not men. That's just one text. You know, this is a longer conversation. I'm not going to hand that round for everyone. Yeah. But you can see what I'm trying to say. There's something about all of our involvement in work that can give a sense of meaningfulness. So all of us.
We're looking for meaningfulness in work. We're looking for effectiveness. We're looking to curb our cynicism, and we're looking for that sense of I'm feeling emotionally full at the moment. And basically what we're saying is the great key to this is a healthy spiritual person, and taking away that healthy spiritual person, even though you've been working with Christian workers all this time, oftentimes the burnout comes with they've been doing things that look like sort of godly things. That's what they've been doing their whole career, and they get to the end of this process, and suddenly none of that even works for them. So what are the ingredients that have just disappeared? Is it just plain old community? Is it isolation? What are the key things we're looking for there?
So again, I just want to pull it back. This is not all about, it's just your relationship with God. Remember what I said about burnout being actually it's the system. It's a system issue. But there's multiple issues here at play. One, spiritual life really strongly contributes to the motivational process. That's a different process than the stress process.
Yeah.
Although there is some relationship there. But some of the most common factors for Christian workers, anyway, that are some of the most protracted and usually the most common demands that drive burnout. It's things like unrelenting standards and expectations for ministry perfection and personal perfection.
Yeah, well,
usually all Christian workers have some kind of overly high expectations for personal accomplishment. that can drive them actually too hard. And that can be actually made more difficult because often people look at you and go, oh, wow, you're a Christian worker or you're a missionary. Oh, I could never do that. And so sometimes people start to believe their own press. It's like, maybe I don't have the same limitations and needs that everybody else on the planet has.
Yeah.
Unrelenting standards, high expectations is probably number one. But in ministry, it usually takes place in a context of pretty significant ambiguity.
Right.
How do I know if I've done a good job today? how much is enough?
Sorry, could you just stop for a second? I'm just going to come to your altar call in a minute.
So high expectations, there's a fair bit of ambiguity in ministry.
Yeah.
You put those two things together. Think about that. What's going to happen? I'm just going to try to do everything. And that's the third thing, actually. Usually it's such extreme task variety. You've got to be a preacher. You've got to be a counselor. You've got to be a visionary. You've got to be a social reformer. You've got to be a fundraiser. You've got to be a manager. You've got to be an administrator. And you only work one day a week.
Yeah.
So put those three things together and you end up with work overload. And that's the big driver. There's other ones we could talk about. You mentioned isolation or loneliness. We could talk about financial concerns. We could talk about interpersonal conflict. One could go on. So there's a range of they're the job demands. They're the kind of the environment of ministry. And that's why it can be challenging to try to manage all those things.
So for some of us who are listening today, they're in a ministry context or they're in a volunteer-based organization, which often share similarities with churches, large organization, small staff, large organization, every staff member has to do multiple jobs. The ambiguity is certainly something I can relate to. The task variation, as much as I'm someone that enjoys generally not doing the same thing every day, there is something motivational about that because it's not boring, but it's also never-ending and nothing ever changes. So I think to be aware of some of the points that you've made, just to quickly reiterate, what is burnout? It's those three parts of the constellation: the emotional burnout, the cynicism, and the low accomplishment. And then really one of the big keys we're talking about is coming back to the preventative measures. And so maybe as we sort of finish up our conversation, we'll just throw us a couple of preventative measures.
Yep. Let me give you the big three things that I would always say. Number one, have the right job demands in your life. So know what are your job, what are the things that are draining your energy?
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you have the right ones. Now, I'm not saying, you pick and choose what you can do, but we all have agency to craft our environments, to say yes and no to the right things.
Gotcha.
And so part of that is having the right job demands, not just any job demand. That's one really important thing. Second step then is to make sure that we are effectively recovering our energy that gets expended on those right job demands. So here one could think about Sabbath. And I always think about we don't just need one day off a week. We need to have Sabbath rhythms in our life. We need daily Sabbath times, daily times to detach from work and replenish our energy.
Mm-hmm.
We need weekly Sabbath times, weekly times where we detach totally and replenish our energy. And we need seasonal Sabbath times across the year. Meaningful work, meaningful rest. Meaningful work, meaningful rest. That's the rhythm. It's not that I take time off so I can work even more. No, that is not a biblical concept, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's meaningful work, meaningful rest. One, know what your job demands are and make sure you have the right ones. Two, recover from those right job demands. And three, replenish resources that are going to help you to accomplish those right demands.
Right.
What are the resources that help you do your job? Work on those. How do you can liberate those more? Is it some growth opportunities? Is it to get a mentor? But really importantly for Christian workers, I would say it really is our experiential relationship with the Lord Jesus. So we need to be meeting with him. We need to be listening to him and actually hearing him say, this is actually away, Grant. Walk in this way, you know. So that degree of calling or intimacy, which calling comes out of an intimacy with God. So I would say that would be the three things. Number one, know that your job demands and have the right ones.
Yeah.
Two, replenish your energy from the energy expended in the job demands. And three, have the right resources to do those right job demands. And particularly for Christian workers, but I'd say for anyone, our relationship with God provides resources for that. I'm not trying to reduce him down to some therapeutic tool. No.
But we're spiritual beings and he feeds our spiritual self. Yeah.
That's right. And particularly if one's in ministry,
that
is the reason why I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
But ironically, ministry can cannibalize your spiritual life.
Wow. So true.
So we need to be very intentional to be replenishing that resource reservoir. That'd be my three things.
Love it, man. Look, we could talk for a long time. We could do a whole series on this, but thank you so much for giving us just a little bit of your day in between a busy schedule. Dr. Grant Bickerton, thanks for being part of the Elaborators today.
Thanks very much. Pleasure.
Thanks to Dr. Grant Bickerton for his time, an incredible guy with an amazing background. He and his wife both working in this field and obviously helping a lot of people over the last decade and more to both recognize and recover from burnout. If that's an issue that's really triggered something for you, really sparked something in you and you'd like to have some more information, you can get in touch with Grant. The details will be there on our podcast notes. And also, don't forget to go back to the WBC YouTube and socials and all the things. Especially to tap into Pastor Stan's message on this very topic. Some great resources there as well. As we go through this whole series on peace, we're just hoping that something that we can share with you, there's a tool, there's a resource somewhere that actually helps you get a hold of that inner peace, that peace that passes understanding that God promises us. So thanks to Dr. Grant Bickerton. Thanks to producer Simon.
You're welcome.
You did a good job of button pushing over there, mate.
Woo.
I think there's something in that. I think you could...
Do you think there's an industry for audiovisual button pushes?
I think there is. I think you should, though. I think, here's my thought. I think if you worked in church life and had a variety of tasks that were ambiguous, you'd really love that job, wouldn't you?
I would.
He would indeed.
That would drive me and help me avoid burnout.
With that being said, we seem to need some more podcast discussions to get past our foolishness. So we'll do that again. How about we do it next week?
See you next time.
For episode 4 of The Elaborators. Cheers.